Can't sell it anywhere else, man. It's right here in West Virginia.
This is the Community Podcast with Zach Beard and Aaron Marco, two Morgantown real estate agents highlighting the good people of our city and state. We're taking you behind the sign, connecting interesting people, places, and faces, why they do what they do, and how they came to be doing it. We're building a better community. So good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
What's happening, Zach?
Just trying to get through the rest of the day. You know, when you think about the centralized part of something, you know, that heart, even like a city or a vehicle, whatever, like, you know, the engine, what points you to the downtown area? Kind of draws you in.
Well, it's having a thriving downtown scene, something going on down there. You need arts, you need entertainment, you need business, you need all these things. It's a conglomeration of things, certainly.
Yeah, and I think for myself, you know, if I'm going to a city I haven't been to or even one I've visited many times, there's always that one thing. Maybe it's a concert, comedy show, whatever it is. Those things always pull me in. And then afterward, or even beforehand, depending on the time of day, I give an opportunity to experience the other local restaurants and shops. And so I was thinking, like, you know, those theaters as being kind of the heart and the centralized part of a downtown. It's exciting to see that the Met Theater is getting ready to open back up and get some of those shows going again.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the thing after coming out of COVID, I mean, this is an entertainment-based society anyway, and maybe always has been. You know, entertainment is a very central part to the human experience. And, you know, and you're right, Zach. In many towns, that theater was the focal point for all that kind of entertainment. There really wasn't, you know, you didn't have TV, you didn't have Netflix, you didn't have all these kind of things. So that theater was a thing. And so we got the Met Theater here in Morgantown. It was shut down for a very long time here in Morgantown. It's been refurbished and it's been coming back to life. And after COVID, we're coming out of, and we're really happy today to have Vincent Kish with us today, who is heading up the project down there right now and getting everything together. Good morning, Vincent.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at the Met these days.
Well, you know, you hit it on the head, because last year they had, it's been closed for nearly a year. We had Tanya Tucker come to town and it was a sold out crazy performance. And then almost immediately after COVID hit and they shut down all the public gatherings and concerts and things. And so it's starting to loosen up a little bit. But, you know, we've spent the better part of that year really looking at the Met and giving it the kind of love and maintenance that it's needed, because you don't often have time to stop and paint and polish and clean and do all the things. We are just finishing a major renovation on the roof, which was like, you know, 18 years, 20 years old on a 15-year roof. And so we're trying to make sure that she's in her best shape when we get open full time after this pandemic.
So you guys just haven't been on idle down there.
Yeah, no, we've been closed to the public, but we've been working every day pretty hard getting things going. And it's a beautiful theater. And I know people, you know, it's almost 100 years old. It opened in 1924. So when you guys were talking about having the heart of soul of downtown, you know, the Met started in the vaudeville days, and, you know, for almost 100 years, minus that time in the 80s when it was kind of shut down, it's been an opportunity for local artists to perform, as well as to have great shows and concerts that come from all over the country.
That's great to hear. You know, one thing that's cool to see and learn more about is just everything that goes on behind the scenes there. You know, we take for granted all that extra stuff that we don't see. You know, I've told Aaron in the past with his restaurant business, you know, he was the first guy there every morning preparing all that food, cutting everything up, getting the dishes ready. And you don't see everything that goes into, you know, making my lunch just like this. You don't see everything that goes into that 1 hour show that I went and saw at the theater. You know, there's so many things that you guys do that we don't see. And it's great to get to talk to you about some of those things.
Yeah, you know, it really does. It really does take a village to put on a show. I mean, when people come into town, we have to marshal all kinds of staff to man the events and to sell concessions and to clean and to do tickets. And we have volunteers, you know, the people who serve as the ushers, our cultural ambassadors, who really help people get in and sit down and find their seat. And, you know, it's a lot of a lot of moving parts to go into that. But every single day the theater is there and it has to be maintained and we have to have people working and we're always booking and, you know, organizing staff. And so it takes a lot. And especially when you're talking about a 100-year-old theater, you know, we have limitations because the Met's there. It's landlocked by buildings. We've got a little tiny alley out back, so we can't have Broadway shows. We can't load in that kind of, you know, that stuff. But we do what we can. And, you know, we're home for a lot of local performing arts groups, like I said, and that's a big part of what we do is support them and their ability to have performances. But then we want to have concerts and special events as well for the people as well. So, you know, we were also voted, the Metropolitan Theater was voted number one in Best of Morgantown this year. So that's a pretty good accolade there that we're proud of.
Yeah, it's a nice feather in your cap there. Tell us a little bit about some of the upcoming shows. I'm sure everybody is dying to get out, get back into the swing of things, check out what's happening. Tell us a little bit about the upcoming schedule, at least what you can. I know a lot of things are probably still fairly tentative, but if you can tell us a little bit about what's up and coming.
Yeah, you know, there's very little that I can, unfortunately, there's very little that's actually completed. We have a number of holds by a number of concert promoters and things for later in the year. I think, you know, June is really going to be, it's going to be mostly local dance companies and things like that. People that are trying to get in and have performances for their constituents in small settings, because we're still in lockdown. We can only have about 350 people in the theater, and that's with a very aggressive, socially distanced seating. Interestingly, people don't think of it this way. We're going to be shutting the Met down for like an entire week because there's a film company coming to town. They're going to shoot their movie inside the Met. So the Met becomes their soundstage and the backdrop for their movie. And so that's one of the things we do. We're supporting a movie production that's going to be that. And so right now, like I said, as you get into August and September, we have all kinds of holds from, you know, Live Nation and Drusky and people like that that want to bring acts in. But even all those national tours are very sketchy and you can't count on it. You know, we're also seeing the same thing kind of with the Riverfront, with the amphitheater being a little looser and a little more open. We're starting to see people looking at booking the amphitheater to be outside where it's a little safer and we have a little more flexibility. And of course, you know, we're preparing to have a big 4th of July celebration of America down at the Riverfront this year, which hasn't happened for a couple years. So we're excited about that too. And that's sort of the big major project that our staff is working on right now.
Well, that's super exciting. Zach, did you have something on that?
No, that's just great to hear. I recall reading not too long ago, there was a big, $4 million award for the park, and then that to have that all revitalized. Now that's something you manage as well, that amphitheater?
Yeah, the Arts and Cultural Development Department is over the Hazel Ruby McQueen Park and the amphitheater, and you're right, it was about $4.2 million that was put into the park as well as Walnut Street Landing, you know, because there's a new kayak launch and docks down there in the park. We did renovations in the seating area. There's covered seatings. They have new bathrooms. The depot's been cleaned up. We have a green room that is rentable and used for artists. We have the depot, which can be used for meetings and receptions. We've had weddings at the park. We've had concerts at the parks. And, you know, the first sort of really big no holds barred event is going to be 4th of July. And then I'm already booking concerts. Same thing like the Met. We have concert promoters who are booking it. I've got a date booked out in August for sort of a DJ style major festival for young people that a production company from out of state is going to come in and put on. So things are happening at the Riverfront for sure.
What kind of show do you got planned for the 4th of July? That's pretty exciting news.
It is, because, you know, we've all been waiting to get out, and, you know, we know hopefully the mask mandates and everything will be lifted. So we opened last year, we finished the renovations and we opened the park and we had one event just as COVID was starting to hit. And so we've never really had a rededication with all that work. So we're going to, on the 4th of July, we're going to have a ribbon cutting and a rededication of the park, sort of the new reopening. And then we're going to have music from like 6 to 10. We're going to have Cody Clayton Eagle come down, do a solo set, a local young man who's doing well. We're going to have the New Relics. Again, another great band, local band that's just come out of the studio with a new album. And then we're bringing in the Needs Hotel Band out of Pittsburgh, which is kind of a rock cover show band. And so we're going to have, you know, from like 6 to 10, all kinds of music. And then, of course, a big fireworks display, which has been absent from the Riverfront for a couple of years. And so we're excited about that.
Absolutely. Are there any local downtown businesses that have helped sponsor those fireworks?
Absolutely. We wouldn't be able to do it at all without the Citizens Bank of Morgantown. They're a major sponsor, so the 4th of July event is sponsored by the city and Citizens Bank Morgantown. We also got some funding from Mon County, the County Commission, as well as the Celebration of America Committee through Main Street Morgantown. They've all kicked in to really help us have a great event and be able to pay the bands and have fireworks and do all the things. And I'm right in the middle of getting food trucks. We anticipate having a number of food vendors from everything from ice cream to lobster, I think, happening at the park on the 4th. So it should be a great event for everyone.
I'm looking forward to that.
No doubt.
At least fireworks. I like the ones that you can feel in your chest. Are we going to get some big ones going there?
Well, you know, like I said, I was talking to staff the other day, and they said something like 1,300 explosions in 22 minutes. So, you know, it's not just the small stuff. We're going to have some big boomers.
That's incredible. So, Vincent, you've been in Morgantown for, was it 2018 you came on?
No, I've been here just a little over a year.
Just over a year.
Since my position was created.
So why Morgantown? Where were you prior and what brought you here?
Oh, you know, I've worked all over the country. At the time, I had taken a year and a half off to really deal with some family issues that I was going through, and I was available. But I've worked in arts and cultural development for 25 or 30 years, and I've worked all over the country in big cities like Austin and Seattle, and I've worked in small towns like Morgantown and Carlsbad, California. And it really was, you know, when I talked to the city about what their vision was for arts and culture and really trying, there was no arts and culture department before 2020, and they said, well, we want to have this, and we want to encourage public art, and we want to have an arts commission, and we want to do all these things. And I happen to have that experience, and so I figured the community needed me and I could make an impact, and hopefully we're doing some great things because a lot of things are coming online, and we're really excited about it. We've got new murals going up in town. We've got an arts commission that's being appointed by the city. And so it's great to see things happening and see that support. We were also designated a certified arts community by the state last year, as well as Mon County was. And so we're just trying to bring arts and culture to as many people as we can, and that's the work. That's what I do. It's what I love.
So what does that mean? What does it mean to be a certified arts community?
Well, that's a state program, a designation through the State Commission on the Arts, and that you have to apply and you have to make the case that you have a creative community and you have artists involved in all aspects and you support arts and culture development, and it allows you – there's only half a dozen or so in the state communities that have been given this designation. So, you know, we can use that to market ourselves. We can use that in grant applications to try to secure more funding to bring in more arts and culture into Morgantown. It's just, I really saw it as a first step to bringing the community together and saying, hey, we're going to celebrate arts and culture. Let's get this designation and show them we know what we're doing.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. There's a lot of great things happening downtown. And, you know, you're right. It takes a village. It takes a lot of people. And you guys are pulling the wagon from your end on the arts and culture aspect. And hopefully that is going to help drive some of the revitalization downtown with the business scene as well down there, because it's good to have a good, thriving, centralized downtown community. Hope to see that out there. I tell you, as you look around the theater here, it's absolutely gorgeous. The amount of work you guys have put into this place, everything's sparkling and shining, and the lights are really impressive. So it's going to be some great shows down there. Really looking forward to people getting out and getting involved and taking a look down there. Anything else you'd like to tell us about? If people are looking to take a look at your calendar, if they're looking for events to get involved in, where can they go find that stuff, Vincent?
Well, the Met website is currently down. We're completely redoing that, too, because we took this time to do that. But you can always look up at the City of Morgantown and look under Arts and Cultural Development Department, and there'll be links to the Met Theater. There'll be links to the Ruby Amphitheater there. And hopefully, as things start to shake out, we'll have plenty of information for everyone so that they can get involved.
That's great. I want to thank you guys and the Met personally for allowing us to come down here and record the podcast. We got Jeff Grable coming up here in just a minute, who's going to tell us a little bit about his new album. He's been on the arts and entertainment scene here in Morgantown for a very long time, local singer and songwriter. And so we're going to showcase a little bit what he's doing. And now that things are starting to open back up, he's going to be out playing the live scene again. And so that's up and coming. Vincent, thanks again for telling us a little bit about what's up and coming at the Met and taking your time and allow us to use the venue today.
Well, thank you, guys. Any way we can help, we're happy to do it.
Awesome. We'll appreciate be in touch. It. Thanks.
You ever worked on a car, Aaron?
Yeah, I do a little bit of my own, you know, working on a car. You'd have to, on the low level, yeah, I change oil, I change my tires, I change my brakes. Well, I don't change my tires, I should say. I've changed rotors and brakes and stuff like that. You a mechanic? You do a lot of mechanics.
Oh, I tinker, I guess I could say.
Yeah, but you take on just about anything.
Anything, yeah. So, you know Lori Martin.
Oh, yeah.
And you know Gino Buddy.
I don't know Buddy off the top of my head.
He had, that's her dad.
I've heard a lot about
the dealership in Point Marion.
Yeah.
I had bought a 2000 Land Rover off of him.
It's a cool car.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a cool car.
I've had it probably 10 years now. Shortly after I bought it, I knew this going into it. The head gasket was leaking. You could see the vapors coming out and the smells, all the signs are right there. That's what was going on. So I decided to take it apart and I go down to the lower block and then build it all the way back up. Replace the seals, the gaskets, everything on there. Get it all together, and I come up with a couple extra bolts.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you get that feeling like you've done something so well and so good, and you're so proud of your job, and you look back behind you with your tools, and there's two bolts.
And you know it's all
wrong. It's all wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's one thing when you're putting together, whatever Swedish furniture you got from IKEA, and you end up with a couple left over.
Yeah.
It's a wholly different thing when you put an engine together.
It is. Yeah. The IKEA furniture, you can go to Lowe's and find a screw.
Yeah.
Or you probably have one in your garage. You can just throw that in there and there. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
Or lo and behold, it might work without it. It reminds me of what we've got going on with this episode. You know, sometimes you try your hardest and you get everything that just turns out so well. And then you go back to look at it and there's just that. There's those bolts left over.
And it's that enormity of the disappointment that you have.
It is.
Especially when you think it was so good. And so that's exactly what happened to us on the last podcast. We had Jeff Grable in here and we were working on this podcast. And unfortunately, we went to post-production. There was a terrible, terrible sound in there. It was just unusable. But it was such a fantastic conversation. We felt it was well worth revisiting and doing it again. So today we got Jeff Grable with us again. And Zach, I got to tell you, you are a master of segues.
Oh, thanks.
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. Very nicely done. Good morning, Jeff.
Is it still morning?
It's morning somewhere.
Somewhere. Oh,
okay. All right. Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Good to see you again. Thanks for enduring and making it happen on this thing.
Well, it's been a bit of a beast, but we're going to get it done this time.
It has. We definitely are.
I think we've probably invested 2 months in making this one happen.
We actually have. Easily. Trying to get it set up and make it happen. Because we did this in conjunction with the Met Theater, which was really, really awesome of them to jump on board and do that with us and actually filming it initially at that location was super fantastic.
On the bright side, though, we still have all that footage that Anthony took.
So it's still going to be a terrific episode.
It will, no doubt.
Yeah, but no definitely will. It. And what's really terrific is we got Jeff Grable with us here. And, obviously, we've said many times on the podcast here, a lot of our goal is to showcase people that are doing great things in Morgantown. And, part of our artist series, this is the second time we've had a musician on, right? We had your friend the first time.
Cam Wilson
on there. So that he was the first musical artist we had on. And then we had the young lady that makes the pottery.
Hannah, whose mug I'm drinking out of right now.
And it is absolutely, those came in. She made me one. Yeah, handmade. We actually went to her studio, and we did a little bit of filming there, and we had a great interview with her and had a discussion about her art and what she does. Terrific, terrific stuff. And she made us commemorative mugs for the podcast. Absolutely gorgeous. So you're actually, I guess, third in the artist series that we've been doing here. And we're really happy to have you in here this morning, Jeff.
Happy to be here.
So for those that don't know, Jeff Grable is, I'll just let you tell the people what you've been doing. You've been playing music in Morgantown for how long?
Probably about 100 years or so.
Yeah, it feels like that sometimes, doesn't it?
It's been quite a while. I started 15, 16 years old, and been hitting it ever since.
Yeah, so actually playing out and, entertaining people in Morgantown since 15, yeah.
Yeah, since 15, 16 years old.
Yep, and I've been around long enough to know that that's true. I've seen a lot of that, you know.
You were a part of the early days.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that.
So now you and Jeff and Aaron, you two went to school together, or at least crossed paths at some point?
I think sometimes we didn't go to school together.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I don't know about actually going to school.
Yeah.
We were enrolled at the same school.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know if we actually went.
Well, I know, Jeff, you and I both had, you know, very similar friends. Our friend circles overlap quite a bit,
know,
especially in the music scene. You know, as an aspiring songwriter and guitar player as I was as a young man, although not nearly as talented and certainly didn't have longevity, that you have the ability to continue doing it. So tell us a little bit about what you've been doing, Jeff, as far as music goes. I know 2020 was kind of a hard year for everybody. They shut down the bars, and for someone who I think in part makes the majority of your living by doing that, is that correct?
Pretty much all of it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so that had to be like tough.
Playing 100 or so shows a year to nothing for 14 months, no shows. So I recorded an album.
Oh, that's fantastic. Just recently released, right?
Yeah, released it April 30th.
April 30th. So that was a product of COVID, huh?
Yeah, pandemic music, I guess you can call it.
All right, so clue us a little bit. How is the album?
I think it sounds really good.
Yeah,
of course, I'm a little bit partial. So.
Well, I'm sure. Well, that's great. And you know, sometimes we're our own worst critics in that way. You know, but you know, if it sounds pretty good to you, then it probably sounds freaking awesome to the rest of us.
I'm hoping so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know I've heard a few cuts off of, and it is pretty fantastic. And it's not as dark as you would think, as you know, being written during a pandemic.
Yeah, there's some of that in there. But musically, it's a little bit more melodic. It's not this heavy gloom and doom type stuff. But there's some of that angst and depression and stuff that carries through the lyrics. But
yeah,
not really too much.
Yeah, so you explore some of that just because it was your own personal feelings going through that at the time?
Yeah, it was, you know, going on. I was out of work. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how long it was going to last, so some of that just bled through what I was writing and recording.
How long into the quarantine or whatever, you know, the lockdown, to use those terms, I guess. I'm not a fan of using those terms, but it is right. What it is, you know. How long into that was it before you really said, hey, you know what, I'm going to be holed up here for a while. I'm going to use this time productively.
It was a couple of months into it, because I think everything shut down mid-March. And I'd already had some of the songs written and was playing them at live shows. And I figured I got to do something to kill some time because I don't have anything else to do. So I upgraded my recording software and just jumped in and just started writing new stuff and laying down all the tracks.
I tell you, I'd like to touch a little bit on that. So you actually had a studio in the house, which not everybody has it, but everybody does have the ability these days. And so what are you recording on now?
It's PreSonus Studio One version 4 is the software that I'm running.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty simple, that and a 2-channel interface, a couple of nice condenser mics, and off I go.
And you're pretty much in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, you know, when you wanted to cut extra tracks, you know, I mean, the first big thing that came out were the little 4-track cassette mixers. I'm sure you had one of those.
I had several of those.
Yeah, I had a couple too, yeah.
Yeah. They were a lot of fun, but then that was kind of a pain because you had to, like, record a couple of things and then bounce those things onto one track, and then you got open tracks again, and you can
and you lost a lot of the integrity of the actual sound.
Yeah,
you
know, all the degraded sound quality just went
as you bounce
straight
them down
the tubes.
Yeah, you could get a fair amount of tracks on it, but you'd lose a lot of quality on it.
Right.
Great for demos and, you know, keeping ideas, but certainly not studio quality. Now the stuff you can do, I mean, your new album is a thing. It sounds as good as anything you're going to record at a professional studio.
I think it would sound better at a professional studio just to have the extra ears and the extra experience and knowledge of the recording process helping me. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's easy to like get a nice set of microphones and the recording software. And
yeah, that's right. What you're nice talking product. About is having that human interface of having an engineer, producer, you know.
Yes.
That's exactly right. But as far as the hardware goes, man, I mean, it's pretty awesome what you can actually do with a home studio.
Oh,
now.
Absolutely.
And you're essentially a one-man band, right?
Yeah.
So you've got, how many instruments are you playing and syncing together?
I've got, there are only two songs, I think, on the whole album that is just acoustic guitar. Other than that, I'm playing drums and bass and keyboards, and there's even a cello in one song.
So you record a track, you got to figure out your timing, then you record the next instrument on a track, and then you're going to do your vocals?
I usually do the vocals last. After I do all the other music, then we'll go back in and drop all the vocal stuff in.
Yeah, it's an incredible process. So your title is called Glass Ego.
Yes.
So what does that mean? Is it we're fragile?
It's a musician's fragility, I guess is what you could call it. You
know, okay.
Part of being out of work for a year, you know, and feeling a little dejected and not knowing if you're ever going to like connect with an audience again or how long it will be. And it was kind of it's part of a line in one of the songs that I'd written, and I just thought it was cool and it would be a good title for the album.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, you put yourself out there. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you put yourself out there. You know, people don't really realize how vulnerable you expose yourself to being a live performing musician.
It's very, I don't want to say frustrating, but you're kind of, especially when I play, because I mostly do just solo acoustic shows when I play live. So it's all on me.
That's right. Know? There's nobody else to blame.
I can't blame anybody else for messing it up. Or, right, yeah. Oh, it was a bass player, man. He missed that note.
Yeah.
Well, there is no bass player.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's you're right out there. And, you know, it can be kind of scary, especially if people aren't really paying attention to you. It's like, okay, do they not like me, you know?
Yeah, right.
That's where the fragility comes
in. That's right. You go through this gambit of emotions up there.
Yeah, that would be the hard part. You know, even when you're just telling a story to, like, one or two people, and you see one of them pick up their phone, and, you know, start scrolling, you're like, well, what's the deal? I'm telling you a story. Why aren't you paying attention to me? Yeah, I can't even imagine looking out at an audience, and you see someone eating a hamburger or looking at their phone, talking to somebody else, and you're like, guys,
I'm up here bearing my soul. Yeah. I wrote this music. It's a piece of me. Yeah, right.
Yeah, my eyes are up here.
Yeah. Oh, man. Never even thought about that aspect of it.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's part of the gig. You know, that's part of the job. You just have to go out there and entertain as best you can and hope people enjoy what you're doing.
You're a hand. You're part of a handful of guys that are still out there really doing this good and hard. Who are a couple of your contemporaries out there still doing this? Kenny Zara,
yeah, he was out for a while, but he came back a couple of years ago and started playing again, which is cool.
And he always had a cool setup.
Yeah, I was still fairly young, late teens, when I met Kenny and started going out to see him play. And at that time, I think he was the only guy doing solo acoustic shows around Morgantown anyway.
Yeah, but he had most of his backup band on electronics.
Yeah, he had keyboards, which was cool, sequencing and all that stuff going on, and I don't think anybody was doing that
either. I don't think so either, at least not around here. I don't remember it, you know. Right. So we had a nightclub for a short period of time out at the Days Inn Hotel, and we had hired him a few times. We had quite a few good acts at the time play out there, and that's where I had met Kenny initially.
I think I'd played out there as well, but I don't think you guys had it at the time.
Yeah,
it
was something else. I don't remember that, but
long time ago.
Yeah. But who else is out there doing this right now?
Matt Cross, great bass player. He's still out and about, playing in some bands around town.
Matt's one of the, you know, there's a few people that I find synonymous with Morgantown in the music scene. Matt's certainly one of them.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Matt's certainly one of them.
Other than that, man. From back in the day, anyway, I can't.
Well, I think Delmas is still out there. Delmas, you know, he's doing stuff.
Black Dog Hollow, they're a good band. They're out and about.
Three Nuts and a Woody.
Right.
You got Woody out there. Woody's been on the music scene for a long time.
A lot of the old 90s bands.
Yeah, right.
I know it's tough to recreate a story, but on the last recording, you all painted this picture, which has just stuck with me. You talked about, and maybe it was your high school days, this dilapidated house.
The haunted house.
Oh, I mean, wow. Yeah. The lock houses.
And you go down there. And for some reason, I just have this picture of everybody on the second floor jumping, and you see this house just shaking. And
you're picturing you picture it exactly right. Picture it exactly right. Yeah. It's one of those memories that's indelibly burned into my memory, you know, where Matt Cross was playing there, and he had a sheet on him, and he was just standing in the corner, staring in the corner, playing his bass. You were playing.
Yeah, it was me and Matt. It was the band was Gypsy was the band that I was with at the time. It was me and Matt, Joey Woodford, and Mike Molinex playing drums.
Mike Molinex. And you know, it was Joey's name. I couldn't remember the last time we were having this conversation. Who I was trying to come up with. I couldn't remember his name. But, yeah, I remember that. So, yeah, this beat-up old house at the end of Master Graphics Road. It was down by the river and probably shouldn't have had anybody in it.
No, man. I think it was condemned and nobody should have been in there at all. But we just said, you know, hey, we're going to have a party here.
Yeah, and it got set up and had generators, and I mean, it was just a terrific party. That was there was definitely mayhem everywhere at this place. I mean, it was absolute mayhem. I don't want to say too much; it'll incriminate me in many circles.
I think statutes of limitations are probably long gone by now.
Yeah, they probably are, but it was absolute mayhem.
So,
but,
you know, on today's instruments, they all require power. Where were you guys pulling power from?
They had generators.
Yeah, we had generators and ran extension cords up to the second floor of this house and just plugged everything in.
Now, I'm not sure how the second floor became a good idea.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Because that's not where you want all the people in a condemned house.
In the heavy stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So this was a planned venue.
Yeah.
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 It was a huge Halloween party. It was absolutely insane.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty cool. There was a lot of crazy stuff back then, but of course that was the 80s, man.
It was, yeah.
That was the 80s.
That was like, I think it was right out of high school.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, maybe for you, you got a year or two on
me. I got a couple
me.
Years yeah. on you, yeah. I think.
Yeah, well, you know, that being said, you know, that was a time. Okay, so the 80s were a unique time musically, obviously, and, you know, we were all in it at that time.
Right.
But, you know, so what you do now is pretty much it's fairly mellow acoustic gig, you know, some of it's up tempo certainly, but sure. You know, it's you and an acoustic guitar. What were some of your influences coming in? What were you listening to that was in, you know, take me a little bit through your progression as a musician, because we all have that evolution.
Are you referring to my sound now as opposed to where I came from originally?
Yeah, right.
I think it's just a process of aging.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of kind of hopefully gain some wisdom and experience, and you sort of mellow out a little bit and see things a little differently than the aggressive early days where you just want to, you know, smash everybody's face in with an electric guitar.
Yeah. But not everybody does. No, not everybody evolved. I mean, the Rolling Stones are still doing the same shtick they were doing, you know, well, like I mean, 300 years ago now. I mean, it was Keith Richards and the Pyramids and, but they're still doing the same stuff.
That's a big cash cow there, though.
It's
harder to make good money and carve out a good living, at least on a local level, playing in a full band. I mean, you just can't make that kind of money.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's a lot easier to do the acoustic, you know, laid back deck gigs, you know, and make pretty decent money.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Good. So where you been playing recently? Now that we're back
open, right? Yeah. I don't have a whole lot of shows. I have a handful booked through the summer at, mostly the outdoor venues like the Whippoorwill out at Cheat Lake, the Lake House, also Cheat Lake. I've got a couple of shows booked at Maryland's of Morgantown over on Easton Hill.
Yeah, that's a great place.
Yeah, I haven't been there since they took over, but I have played the Uniontown location a couple of times.
I didn't know they had one. Yeah. I ate there one time. I ate there twice, actually. Food was terrific. And they had, the second time I ate there, there was a guy up there doing a set, man. He was terrific.
Yeah, they always have entertainment there. Yeah. So I'm excited to go check this new place out and keep it going.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit more about your album and the process going into it. A lot of what you wrote was about what you observed in yourself and in others. So how do you take away, you know, because oftentimes what we observe in others may be way off from what's actually going on.
That's true. And it may be my interpretation of what I'm observing. But it's just like something that seems like would be a good topic to touch on in a song. You know, like somebody's heartbreak or somebody's negligence and how they approach things that they should have a little better, you know, better approach to.
It could
be a joyful sounding song that the lyrics are just beat up.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you don't really dig in and listen, then you might not really catch what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and some of it you got to color through and make things a little bit vague. And, you know, I don't want to be too hard on my sleeve all the time. And, you know, you got to make people think a little bit.
So what's your outlook for this, the rest of this year? You think it's going to continue to keep...
I hope it does. I hope it continues to get better, but I just don't know.
How do you feel coming out of it, man? I mean, you had to be chomping at the bit, especially coming towards the end, right? You can see that we could see for some time the finish line was coming. Things were going to start returning to a sense of normalcy. And so you could see that coming. So there had to be some anticipation. And how do you feel you've measured up to that anticipation getting back out after having a significant layoff?
I didn't realize it at the time, but I was pretty burnt out going into this whole pandemic thing.
All right, so you rejuvenated.
So, yeah, I got plenty of rest and, you know, kind of got myself back together and ready to go, and I feel pretty good about it.
You know, that's great.
My voice, except for today, my voice is strong. I sound better at the shows I've been singing, and I'm like, okay, I needed the rest. So now let's dive back into it.
Well, that's certainly a lemonade out of lemons kind of attitude on that, no doubt about it.
Right, and, you know, a little bit of vodka.
Yeah, right, which, there you go. Good having musicians on, you know, so.
Just a little bit, though.
All right, so what's upcoming gigs? Where you got coming up?
Saturday the 19th is my next live show out at the Whippoorwill, Cheat Lake. Whippoorwill Bar and Grill.
And that is a really cool little place.
It's a great, great place, man. I've known
right on the water
for a long time, and yeah, I always have a good time out there.
Yeah, right on. So I'm sure they'll be having, so they got a little bar and grill right there, so you can get some food,
nice,
you can get
deck a drink, right on the water,
some music,
get some food, couple drinks, and dig the entertainment. Yeah, I don't have anything big scheduled, just some local, you know, bar and grill type places, you know, the lake bars and that. And
as things start to spin up a little bit, I think right now some of the bigger events, you know, everything's kind of tentative because you didn't really know. And a lot of these bigger things take a little bit more time and planning than right. just kind of thrown together. So as those things start to open up, I know Palatine Park does a lot of kind of big things where they have artists and stuff up there good bit.
I actually did one down there. They do the Three Rivers Festival Memorial Day weekend. So I did do that.
Oh, that's great.
The end of last month.
How was that?
It rained the entire time.
Not great.
Yeah. It was not as good as it could have been, but it was still fun to play in the rain, which I don't, you know, particularly like to do, but it wasn't that bad.
Not with that beautiful Taylor guitar you're playing.
I know. Actually, I didn't have the Taylor for that show, but yeah, I do enjoy that Taylor.
Yeah, it's a beautiful and a beautiful sounding guitar.
I've got a handful.
All right.
So I try to mix them up every once in a while, you know, so they all get some love.
Yeah, right on.
Can't leave them in the closet for too long.
All right, super, Jeff. So you survived the pandemic. Not that you survived it. You came out stronger. You came out better. You cut a brand new album for the whole thing.
I did.
Tell me about what one or two of your favorite. Everybody's got a favorite, right? You know, so tell me about one or two of your favorite cuts off the album.
I think one of the fan favorites, at least, because this is a song that I had been playing before the pandemic and on the live stream shortly afterward. So I Get High is the name of it, and it's like one of the two only acoustic guitar and vocal songs that's on the album. But it's a poppy little happy song, you know, kind of a love song, and nice catchy chorus. And
well, cool. Let's sit back for a minute. Let's take a listen to it.
And forget the day. You know you lift me off the ground. I get high every time you call my name. I get high every time you call my name. Nothing could be so strong.
Yeah, that was fantastic. So it's interesting listening to some of those lyrics too. You know, the song's called I Get High, and we all have our own kind of version of that. But like you said, this is kind of a love song.
Yeah, it's probably not what people think when they hear the title. They're thinking, oh my God, yeah, he's talking about doing bong hits or whatever, but it's not.
Yeah.
Well, that's the neat thing about it. That's why you're an artist.
Right, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
I like the creativity that comes out of that.
Yeah, that's a great track, no doubt about it. That's really a cool track. What's one of your other favorites on there?
It's hard to pick favorites because, you know, they're all my babies.
But, yeah, everybody says that, man. But you know you got one or two that you like a little bit more than the other that resonate with you.
I think as far as production quality goes, I think Look At You Now is probably my favorite. I think that it just has a little better overall sound.
Did you do anything experimental with the way you ran your mics or the way you did the recording?
I was always trying different things, trying different approaches, like doing vocal tracks, like setting a microphone in the closet and let the stuffing a bunch of pillows in around the clothes, you know, just to try to deaden it up a little bit.
You know, isn't that a funny thing? Because a lot of people would not. A lot of the people listening to this certainly have no line of sight with this, but the things that musicians do during the recording process to get various sounds in the studio, you just can't even imagine, like that, like setting them up there or putting them. You know, I know some of the Buddy Holly tracks, the drum tracks here, they were actually played on cardboard boxes. Or I've heard some friends that have recorded really great rhythm tracks using Tupperware. Or, you know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of really neat things, putting your microphones in a box or setting it closer or further away from, you know, from the amplifiers or whatever. So there's a lot of really neat things.
There's all kind of crazy stuff you can do. And the album before this one that I recorded, I was actually doing percussion parts on the body of my acoustic guitar, just playing it with my hands. And then I would run that through a beatbox plugin in my recording software and make it sound more like an actual drum kit. So, I mean, it's just all kind of weird stuff you can come up with.
It really is. And so for these tracks, you're actually using a... you're just playing the drums with your fingers on a drum simulator?
Oh, no. I bought a small electronic drum kit sort of thing.
Oh, so you're like, actually like taking sticks and actually playing...
Oh, yeah, actually
playing
sticks and
that's,
you know, foot pedals and all that stuff. That was a learning experience. Because, I've always been able to play drums,
right,
but that was the first time I actually, like, really got into trying to create drum tracks and, you know, trying to make it sound as good as I can. But it was fun.
And so what was the name of that track you just mentioned?
Look at You Now.
Look at You Now. Let's take a quick listen to that one, too.
Oh, just look at you now. You're down and out again. Oh, just look at you now. Finally reach the end. Oh, just look.
Amazing. You know, one of my favorite things about the discussion you guys just had, that conversation there, is it early on in the podcast you mentioned, we talked about the things you observe in others and how they may not always be what they seem. Well, even just the work that goes into a song, when we just talked about it and you dissect that process, you know, for an outsider, for me just sitting here listening to the song, I was like, man, this is absolutely incredible. And then you sit there and dissect it in that conversation, you're like, there was a lot that went into this that, you know, you don't even see. And it's incredible to contrast that.
It's a weird process, but it's just part of who I am now. But there is a lot that goes into it, especially in the recording aspect of it. When you're by yourself, it can be very frustrating because you're the drummer, the bass player, the guitar player, the singer, plus you're the recording
producer.
Engineer, the producer, that right. whole bit. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But so, I had the time, so.
And all that, too. You're also booking all your own shows, right?
And booking all the own shows and, doing all my own promo work and marketing and, all that stuff. Designing merchandise and everything.
Well, you look like you're doing all right.
I think I'm doing okay.
You're doing all right. Yeah, good for you.
Still kicking.
Yeah, that's cool.
Still kicking it.
Jeff, I got to tell you, man, super great. I'm glad to see you still out there playing, still out there just, you know, knocking it out like you always did, and really getting a chance to see where you've taken your craft and what you've done. I always think it is fantastic. I was, like I said, an aspiring songwriter and guitar player, but never really had the true talent that, like, you do and some of the many of the others that do around here, and it's really great to keep going, especially here in Morgantown. And if you're here in Morgantown, there are a lot of great things to do. There's a lot of great artists to see. Make sure you get out there, support your local music, support your local artists, because if you don't, they won't be there, right?
That's right. That's right. Come see us. There's a lot of talent around here.
Yeah, there
they
really
need
is.
Your love.
Yep. And your money.
And your money.
That's right.
Well, Jeff, you're a truly talented individual.
Thank you.
We hope the listeners will go find you on Instagram, follow you, listen to some shows.
Yeah,
Instagram. Yeah, where can they buy your new album at? Tell us a little bit. How do we get Jeff Grable merchandise?
You can get the album on Apple or Spotify. It's on all those download streaming platforms. It's also at jeffgrable.bandcamp.com. Those are the places to get it. You can follow the page there. Follow me on the Facebook, Jeff Grable Music on Facebook as well. So go get some tunes, man. They're out there.